As we still, as we've come together to worship God, and from the psalmist. You send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you, O God, my God. Let's join together to sing. Now thank we all our God. Join together to pray. Let us pray. We know that in coming towards you, you have first come towards us. You have called us by name. bringing us deeper into you, into relationship, into love. We thank you. We hold our hands humbly, offering you what we have. We lift up our hands, we lift up our voices, we lift up our hearts, we lift up our lives. Search us, O God, and bring us deeper into the justice of your life-giving word. God of justice, justice is your name, and we who call ourselves yours have often left justice at the door, preferring words to actions. We have done wrong, and we have failed to do the good that we could do. Forgive us. Strengthen us and call us again to your service. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to lead us?
Okay, morning. Good morning. I've been thinking about how we do things, and I've got some questions, and I'd like you to answer them just by raising your hand. So question number one, when you put your socks or shoes on, which foot do you do first? Do you do your left foot or your right foot? So hands up if you think you do your left foot first. Okay, got some people there. I'm just going to click onto another screen so I can see some of the other people. Okay, we've got some left footers. What about you think it's your right foot that you do? Okay. Yesterday, I experimented with this myself. I noticed when I put my socks on, I did my right foot first and then my left. And then later on, I did left and then right. So a bit of variety there for me. Okay, what about when you throw or catch a ball? Do you use your left or your right hand? So who thinks your left hand? Oh, one person, Denise, I can see. Connie, some of you I can't see at all, your faces even, which is a bit of a shame. Okay, what about your right hand? Who would use your right hand? Oh, lots of people. What about people, both hands? I think I would throw with my right hand and catch with both. I say catch, I'm rubbish at catching, throwing and catching, but if I was going to try, it would be both hands. Okay. Okay, when you eat fish and chips, what is your first mouthful? Is it the fish or the chips? Okay, so me, it's chips. I have to have a chip even before I've emptied everything onto the plate. I'm in there with the chips. But who would go for the fish first? A couple of people. I think I'm going to keep looking at photos. What about the chips? Who'd eat the chips first? Yeah, Lots more people, definitely. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is a dangerous question. So I'm somewhat controversial, and I'm hoping I don't split the church over this. Sorry, Leslie, if that happens. When you have scones or scones, even, scones, when you have scones with jam and cream, do you have jam first or cream? Now, I know this has caused near battles in the past, but who has jam first? Oh, come on, people. Everybody should have their hand up for that one. Jam, come on. Right, okay, well, go on then. Show me who has cream first. Oh, dear. What are you thinking? Okay, fine. Fine, fine, fine. Okay, last question. And this is a more serious question. When you have a job to do, which do you do first? The job that you like or the job that you don't like? For me, it's definitely the jobs that I like that I do first, which is why admin and stuff like that, unfortunately, is at the bottom of the list. But what about people who likes doing the jobs that you like first? Yeah, just having a look. And then there's the disciplined ones who do the jobs that they don't like first, the sensible ones. Who is that? Okay, Pat Foster does the one she doesn't like first. Yeah, oh, okay. Most people like Janine does the job she doesn't like first. Most people do the ones that they like first. There are so many ways to get things done. I guess that's because we're all different. Does it matter how we do something as long as it gets done? I think sometimes it does. The way we do something is as important as what we're doing. But in a lot of cases, I don't think it matters. And I guess that's because, again, we are all different and it's to be expected that we'll do things in different ways. We're all unique. And I just want you to take a moment. We're going to pause and just think about what makes you do things differently. What makes you unique and special? Because our readings today are going to touch on that. So think about what makes you unique and special. And just say a quick thank you to God for that. And for anyone that can't think of anything, I can tell you that God thinks you're special, very special. And my advice is to ask someone from the church what makes you special. And I think you'll get an answer. Amen.
Thank you. Couple of things before we move into the readings and then into the sermon. When we come to the prayers of intercession, I'm going to pick up with Sally's bright idea of getting you to make suggestions using the chat function. So if you'd like to be thinking at this point, obviously not thinking during the sermon because you'll be so focused, but the things that you want to pray for, yeah, go on. I know you're all nodding at me. Go on. Think about those things that you want to pray for. When it comes to the communion, just to say that we are receiving into membership on this day, Jihei and Sukju, they are to be received into membership. So we're using that during Zoom. So we have two readings, Thessalonians and Matthew. The Thessalonians reading, Jean Ashdown will read to us. It seems likely that the apostles evangelized while they were working, and it also looks likely that the believers in Thessalonica were accused of disobeying the emperor because they named Jesus as king. And then when we get to the Matthew reading, Jesus tells his hearers that they are to follow the instructions of the teachers of the law, and which can be summarized as loving God and loving your neighbor. Jean Ashdown for the Thessalonians, and then Rhiannon for the Matthew reading. Thank you.
Thessalonians 2, verse 9 to 13. Surely you remember, our brothers, how we worked and toiled. We worked day and night so that we would not be any trouble to you as we preached to you the good news from God. You are our witnesses, and so is God, that our conduct towards you who believe was pure, right, and without fault. You know that we treated each one of you just as a father treats his own children. We encouraged you, we comforted you, and we kept urging you to live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in his own kingdom and glory. And there is another reason why we always give thanks to God. When we brought you God's message, you heard it and accepted it, not as a man's message, but as God's message, which indeed it is, for God is at work in you who believe. Amen.
Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees are the authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you must obey and follow everything they tell you to do. Do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach. They tie onto people's backs loads that are heavy and hard to carry, yet they aren't willing to even to lift a finger to help them carry those loads. They do everything so that people will see them. Look at the straps with scripture verses on them, which they wear on their foreheads and arms, and notice how large they are. Notice also how long are the tassels on their cloaks. They love the best places at feasts and the reserved seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them teacher. You must not be called teacher, because you are all equal and have only one teacher. And you must not call anyone here on earth father, because you have only the one father in heaven. Nor should you be called leader, because your one and only leader is the Messiah. The greatest one among you must be your servant. Whoever makes himself great will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be made great.
Hi, it would be great to get to know you. If we can help you, let us know. Certainly if we can build relationship, that would be fabulous. My sermon title is Speaking and Living the Same Truth, and the text that I'm preaching from Matthew and Thessalonians, of course. Matthew 23, verses 1 to 12, and 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 to 13. Pause, then come back in. Jesus tells the people to obey the authorized teachers of the law. He tells the people to do it. His criticism is that they have failed to live up to what they said. His criticism is that they have not lived according to what they have taught. Now, often Christians are disrespectful of the Jews and their beliefs, but here we have a piece of teaching of Jesus that on that score is a complete game changer. The criticism is not about what they teach, but the fact that they don't practice it. The disciples are to learn not from a hierarchy of teachers, they are to learn from Jesus and they ought to put that into practice within a community which will be characterised by equality and humility. And that's described in the letter to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy have been working for their living as well as teaching and preaching. So again, Lee and I get what's called a stipend. That's money from the United Reformed Church's Ministry and Mission Fund, and it's paid into our current accounts every month. We are also provided with housing. That's how it works. That's the United Reformed Church's and many churches' model. For the early church, though, there was no such infrastructure. It's also a model that is used in other strands of the church and in the United Reformed Church, what's called self-supporting ministry. You do your paid work, and you're also part of the leadership of a church. The aim of a stipend is so that ministers of religion would not be focused on money, but able to do the work in the church. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy are working their way around the world, preaching and working. We would never declare that we are pure, upright and blameless, as we get from this letter. But the notion of teaching as being almost parental, certainly let's use the word mentoring, is important. It's a useful reminder to us. It's not about spewing things that we believe to be true and then going back to our ivory tower. It's about living the life and speaking our truth, both of them. Authentic teachers live according to their precepts. Jesus is critical because he sees the teachers as play acting. But there's more than that. Jesus sees speech, coming back to Augustine's classic criterion for faithful interpretation of the scriptures. Scripture's purpose is that we should love God and love our neighbour. And we have experience, surely, of teaching teach the correct doctrine, but in a hateful, demeaning way. True teaching does not abuse other people. Secondly, authentic teachers do not promote their own status. The danger in any organisation is that people enjoy a prominent seat or a desk from which they can pontificate. And people do have a tendency to like to see their name in the credits or above the door. But Matthew identifies authentic teachers as servants who seek neither promotion nor acclaim. And few of us fit that bill. It's interesting, isn't it, that it's completely countercultural in our times to do small things that nobody notices and to work without drawing attention to it, quietly, like the seed. That the only one applauding is God, the only one who notices our work. We do it, we do what we do, because we believe it to be right. We do it because we say that we believe it, and how we behave must be congruent. They must be the same. But there's more. It's not just that life and teaching must be the outworking of humility. There's also a lesson of who can be the teacher. Who? It's not necessarily all about degrees and badges. How often have you been in a Bible study or a discussion group or even in an ordinary conversation with some people? And if you are being completely honest, you're with somebody who you think of as a bit of a half-wit, frivolous or ill-educated or lacking in knowledge, not only about the faith, but about life generally. And then they open their mouth and they say something. And it takes you a moment to really listen to what they're actually saying. And wow, wow. In that moment, you know that God has spoken through them. And what you actually need to do in that moment is prostrate ourselves on the floor and say, look, God, I'm really sorry for judging and being such a halfwit. But actually what you do is you smile and you nod and you say, yes, good point, thank you. For it is God who is our instructor and the Holy Spirit who is at work among us and among us all, even the unlikely ones. This is a season where people are exploring their faith, and for some, they're getting right down to the bottom of their knapsack. But feeling that this is a good time, not in the sense of an easy time, but a time when they are uncovering their faith more than they ever have done before. People taking time to pray and to read the Bible and talking to other people about the things of God. Others, of course, are drawing up the drawbridge. I don't mean physically, I mean psychologically. And if you find yourself isolating yourself from others, please have the courage to reach out, because there are people who are ready to listen to you and to pray with you and to laugh with you. So give us a call. So you hear something and you think, wow, that's good. And then 2 minutes later, you look at it again and think, phew, that's just superficial nonsense. How do you know when something is a word from God and when it's not? How do we, all of us, teach words that come from God as opposed to from our own lips? These are the themes in these two passages. In Matthew, the quality of what is being taught is not in question. Jesus tells the people to follow the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees. His issue is about their example, the way that they live. To be a complete teacher, we need to live by what we say. Now, the way that much of our society deals with that is with the avoidance of absolute truth and keeping everything relative. You don't put your head above the parapet because somebody would shoot you down. So the Archbishop of Canterbury rages, well, in his quiet way, rages about Wonga, about it being a social evil for the exploitation of the poor, with its exorbitant interest rates for payday loans. All true, by the way. And then 2 minutes later, journalists discover that the Church of England actually has shares in Wonga. He was right in what he said. And when the mess is cleared up, the world is a better place. But in the moment that he spoke out, he looked foolish. But he was right to do it, and then wise enough to make sure that the shares were sold. To know that the word is not just spoken by a teacher, but a word that comes from God, and a word that matches with the way a life is lived. The question for all of us is, if the most important thing is love, who are we sharing love with at this time? The message must match the life that is lived. The message is that love matters above everything else. Love must be the loudest thing that is heard, not the big words, not the massive concepts, and not the unintelligible sentences. Love. And then surely, surely, in our small ways, we can all do that. Even in these times, we can all do that. Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, as I invited you at the beginning, would you like to send me a chat message of people or situations that you feel that we are called to pray for at this time? There's a couple of you who need to check because you're unmuted. Two international ones there. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Let's be still and let's join together to pray. Gracious Lord, in our small way, we are all part of your big world, and we are called to pray for people around the world on this day. And the stories that we hear and the linkage of our media means that we know in ways that generations behind us did not. So we hold up before you situation, there's the protests in Poland. The earthquake in Turkey. The US election. The unrest in France, and particularly we hold up the priest injured in France. We pray for those looking at the wider picture, not just the immediate crisis. We think of tax justice. We pray for nurses and for all NHS workers. And we pray for those who are lonely and stressed. Maybe particularly because of the up and coming lockdown. For those things that are too private, Lord, we pray. And for those things that are sort of half formed in our thinking, Lord, we pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise for you. Hear our prayer, and we place our concerns before you, and we do it because we know you are God who loves and loves us, and if these things matter to us, they matter to you. We bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're now going to receive Jihei and Jude to into membership. So if they would like to unmute themselves, that would be lovely. And give everybody a wave. That's a beautiful thing. We'll give you a wave, and that's good. That's good. Thank you. Good. It was about 100 years ago that Jihei and Sukju met with me, and we talked about membership and what it meant. And I remember them saying to me, "Are you sure this is safe for us to meet in the room, one of the rooms at the church? Are you sure this is okay? In our country, it wouldn't be okay. In South Korea, I said, come on, it'll be fine." And so, yeah, here we are. But their names have gone through church meeting and due process, and obviously in this strange time we have waited, but you know, who knows how long this is going to go. So we'll take this on now. It is by baptism that we are received into the membership of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and since they have affirmed their baptism and confessed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and have accepted the privileges and responsibilities of membership of Christ Church, we now receive them to be members with us. We rejoice in the ethnic diversity of the life of our church, and we give thanks and praise for Sukju's company that has made them come to be in the UK and to be among us. We are grateful. We are grateful to God for that thing that can hold us together, even though we are so different from one another. So let me ask you both these questions. Do you confess anew your faith and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, giver of life, and redeemer of the world?
I do. Yes.
And do you promise to continue in worship and fellowship in the church in this congregation, accepting the gift and cost of following Christ and proclaiming by word and action the good news of God in Christ?
Yes, I do.
Beautiful. So let us pray. God of grace, you call us to be your servant people and gather us into the body of Christ. We give you thanks for sending Sukju and Jihei to be among us. We ask that you would bless them. Bless the Presbyterian Church of Korea. Bless Sam and Michelle. We particularly think of them in lockdown, total lockdown in Wales. And for Sam as he prepares for his Oxbridge exams. Thank you for sending them to us to work in the serving of your kingdom. Confirm us all in the power of your covenant to live in your spirit and to love each other and to share the mind of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
So now what we do is we shake you by the hand, but we won't do that. We'll use these hands and we'll give you a big... One day we'll give you a big hug. Good, thank you. Good. So as we move towards our communion, let me give you some notices. Knitters, we need you. If you are a knitter, please let us know. We've got a bit of a plan. So please, if you are a knitter, let us know and we'll get things going. We're going to create an electronic advent calendar. So we need pictures on advent or Christmas themes, advent Christmas themes, all works of art appreciated. So get drawing, get carving, get, you know, doing your pottery, whatever it is, taking photographs. And then would you please send a representation electronically, or send it to me or to John Watts, and we will make this thing happen. Cooking. There's a request that we would take responsibility for providing a hot takeaway meal for one day a week for street homeless and vulnerable people. Probably either Mondays or weekends are the particular needs at the moment. If you would be willing in some way to help with that, would you please speak to me? It looks as though a gathering for worship is probably going to have to stop. The good news for us is that we can tweak what we were going to do next week. We'll gather today at 5, but we will tweak what we're going to do next Sunday, because you can still use the building for prayer, which is the main way that we were going to use next Sunday. So if you have somebody that you would wish us to remember, please could you send us a photograph and a couple of sentences. And let me tell you what some people have done, because I think it's genius. They've been in touch with their neighbours and said to them, look, I know you couldn't go to the funeral, and I know that you usually get together for the anniversary at this time, and but would you like us to remember? And so that's what some people have done. So I offer you their wisdom, and if you've got somebody that you would think of. So as soon as possible, please, because what we'll do is we'll put a PowerPoint together And the idea is, if you feel that you want to come and be a part of it, come in, have a moment, use the pictures, pray, maybe light a candle, and then clear off. No socializing in worship, pray, scoot. That's, I think, within the rules. And next Sunday will be Remembrance Sunday. We'll start at 10:30 and we'll have a 2-minute silence somewhere around about 11 o'clock. I beg you. I'll do my best, but you know, we'll get there at some point. We'll have the 2 minutes, but we're not going to, well, I'm not going to sweat too much. It looks as though we might have to shut the coffee bar. Yeah, it does look like that. We'll look at it. So, but it does look as though, I mean, come on, you only spoke last night. So anything I say, I'm quite prepared to be told I'm out of order. But it looks as though the building can stay open for prayer. Now, to make that happen, we'll need some people who can be in the building just to keep it secure and, you know, just be around, letting people come in, pray, clear off. So if you are a person who'd be prepared to sit in the building, way apart from others stewarding it, by which I mean sitting there reading a book, would you speak to me and we'll make that happen. So of course, at the moment, we all know that things are changing. It might well be that we have to send you out a message about things happening. But at this time, if you need support, let us know, let me know, and then we'll make it happen through other people. Step away from the extra calories. Step away from the alcohol. Step away from the online gambling. Step away from it. Step away from the online shopping. Step away. You know, if you needed it, you would have bought it. Do not do it. Keep that money in your pockets. Keep moving. Keep moving. Read. Watch something that's a bit challenging to the old grey matter. Speak to somebody, especially if you're living on your own. Speak to somebody. Join a group. There's hordes of groups going on in the life of our church. Join a group, even if it's not your natural thing, and even if you think it's a bit beneath you. Do it. Reach out. Because although you've got your physical health to worry about, we've also got your mental health to worry about. And loneliness is really, really dangerous. So please be brave, reach out. And if you know anybody else, if we can help them, let us know. You know, we can't do everything, but we can do something. So get in touch. And I think we are blessed. We are blessed to be part of a church. We're blessed to be part of this church. So please, you know, we'll do what we can. We had a fantastic gift day, as you all know, but now we're moving into the long slog of ordinary giving. That's where we are. So if you need me to put your check in the safe, stuff it through my door. Otherwise, if you need help to learn how to do electronic banking, let us know and we'll set that up with somebody. If you pay tax, please make sure we get your gift aid. We're now moving on to our Holy Communion. Under normal circumstances, Jihei Sukju, I would serve you first, but I'm not coming around your house, I'm sorry. There's not going to be a ding-dong, and there I am. But I'm sure you can feel the love. But for now, I'm going to dedicate the money and then dedicate our gifts of bread and wine. So let us pray. Lord, we have a variety of intentions of offering these gifts to you. Whatever the reason, whatever might be our purpose, we trust that you will use our gifts of bread and wine and money to bring healing to brokenness, hope to despair, welcome to the forgotten. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus, and following his example, we take this bread and this cup, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, with every knee bowed and with every tongue giving you praise. For in you is extravagant mercy and salvation from all that would destroy us. In the first of your mighty wonders, you created the earth, divided the watery chaos and bringing forth dry land. In the days of Moses, you divided the sea again and delivered your people from their oppressors, leading them by fire and cloud to the land of freedom. In Jesus, you reign with love and mercy that has embraced all who live, and even in our weaknesses, you uphold us. He was killed but lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. Now, whether we live or die, we belong to you, and in gratitude, we share your love and mercy with all. Therefore, with our hearts lifted high, we offer our thanks and praise at all times, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on the bread that we offer, that it would be for us the body of Christ, and this wine, that it would be for us as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, may we take into ourselves, may we be reaffirmed in our knowledge that you are God who is in us and around us. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. The body of Christ, which is broken for you. The blood of Christ, which is shed for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Body of Christ, the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service, even in these strange times. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom. Help us to spot it, Lord Jesus. Help us to do it faithfully, Lord Jesus. And that our love would be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's join together to sing, Teach Me to Dance. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us for now, for always. Amen. Let's say the grace together.